Well, welcome once again to our Sunday school, our Sunday school time here at Grace Baptist Church. I certainly pray that in addition to the pastor's messages, that you are attending to these messages. They so often go hand in hand with no communication between Brother Gene and myself. Today, we want to take a look at a question, an overwhelmingly important question. What must you do to be born again? Now, the answer to that question is overwhelmingly important in light of what Christ said to Nicodemus in John 3:7. Jesus said, "You must be born again." Well then, what must you do to be born again? If you are a Christian, a true Christian, to whom God has revealed the answer to this question, you'll not be surprised to have me confirm to you the truth revealed in the Holy Scriptures through the Spirit of Christ who indwells you, indwelling inside you, spiritually speaking. If you profess to be a Christian, but have not been taught by a man led by the Spirit of God, it would be near impossible for you to have received the God's truth in answering our question. Now, of course, I realize if you are a Christian, God may have revealed the truth concerning the new birth to you in your own personal study of the Scripture. Nonetheless, the vast majority of professing Christendom, professing Christians, the vast majority today is clueless as to the answer to what must you do to be born again. In addition, these folks, most of professing Christians today, if they did hear the answer to that question, the true answer, that answer would be met with, and I would suggest almost all of these folks, totally rejecting the answer, and some of them even mocking the truth. For most professing Christians today, their position is that you must believe the gospel of Christ in order to be born again. That's what most people think today. I'm going to be addressing that critical error in just a moment. What must you do to be born again? The answer? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, before some of you think that I'm going to go off into some hyper-Calvinistic inroad, please listen. Please listen to this message. It's nothing like you might think it would be. Just as natural childbirth, as in natural childbirth, the child is passive in that birth, so in the new spiritual birth, the child of God is passive in that birth. Who have you ever seen that has birthed themselves? Naturally speaking, same is true in the spiritual world. However, just as in natural childbirth, The birth child becomes active in performing activities necessary to physical life. Once they're born, they become active in their natural physical lives. Well, so, in the new spiritual birth, the newborn babe in Christ becomes active in performing activities necessary to spiritual life. God equips them to do so. However, there is a significant difference in natural physical childbirth and being born again spiritually. Whereas natural childbirth is a continuation of life begun in the womb, the new spiritual birth is a resurrection from spiritual death in trespasses and sins. Now that's a notable difference, folks. And that leads me to address the error of the overwhelming number of professing Christians who have been thought or think that you must believe the gospel of Christ in order to be born again. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 and then 4 through 6. Speaking to Christians, and you being dead in your trespasses and sins, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together. This is a resurrection from the death of trespasses and sins into life together with Christ, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Dead in trespasses and sins. Dead in trespasses. The death we speak of here is spiritual death. Dead to the things of the Spirit of God. Dead to the things of true spiritual life. Did you hear that? It just couldn't be any more clear. For those who have not been born again, they are dead to the things of true spiritual life. What does a dead person do, folks? They can do nothing. Just as people who are dead physically cannot do anything physically, they no longer have physical sight, hearing, speech, thought, movement, feeling, they're dead. So, those who are spiritually dead do not see, hear, perceive, communicate, nor are able to enter into true spiritual life. They are dead to the things of Christ. Stone, cold, dead. This is precisely why Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, and by the way, Nicodemus was spiritually dead. Christ said to Nicodemus, "Truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see," and that means perceive or enter the kingdom of God. John chapter 3, verses 1 and 5. Both the sight, and again I told you that's perception, and entering are spiritual in nature. You don't enter the kingdom of God physically, you enter the kingdom of God spiritually. You perceive the kingdom of God spiritually in your mind's eye. For those who think you must believe the gospel in order to be saved, I must tell you that is absolutely impossible. Spiritually dead people cannot do anything spiritual. You must have spiritual life before you can do anything spiritual. The disciples of Christ said this to Christ: "Who then can be saved?" To which Christ responded, "With human beings, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Matthew chapter 19, verses 25 and 26. If you are a Christian today, if you are truly a Christian today, I want to repeat what God did for you that you could not do yourself. Back to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, you can't do some things yourself, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, God's elect, even when we were dead, when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. But God, even when we were dead in trespasses, at that time, we could do absolutely nothing spiritually. But God made us alive together with Christ. We were born again. Now, more revelation concerning being born again solely by God and not by humanity is seen in John 1:13. The context here, we see those who are believing into Christ's name, and it says this of those believing into Christ's name, who were not born of blood, or who were born not of blood, has nothing to do with physical activity, nor of will of the flesh. Now, friends, that would be a total impossibility. It is a total impossibility. The flesh referring to the nature of an unsaved person. There's nothing good in the flesh, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of humanity. Folks, this new birth was not of the physical nature, not of the sinful nature, had nothing to do with humanity's will, but of God. I just stand amazed. That is so overwhelmingly clear. It is undeniable, irrefutable as to what the scriptures say. What must you do to be born again? The truth is, you can do nothing. You are not able to do anything to be born again. John 1:18, excuse me, James 1:18 says this in the King James Version translation, speaking of God, of his own will begat he us. Begat is a term meaning giving birth to. The New American Standard Version translates James 1:18 this way. In the exercise of his will, he gave us birth. The New Revised Standard Version reads, in fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave birth to us. James 1:18 goes on to say, by a word of truth. And here's where we can have some confusion. Having willed it, God gave us birth by a word of truth. Now, this is really the most important point that I'm going to be making in this particular message. May I identify the word of truth? Please, 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 put this thing on pause, whatever you have to do to get your mindset, and listen up. Turn it back on. It is my position, now listen to me closely, it's my position that the written or preached word of the Holy Scriptures has no power to birth us again or give us the life of God. Then how do I reconcile that with Romans 1:16 that clearly says the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes? Well, number one, it's just like with election. Folks, election is not salvation. Election is unto salvation. Again, regeneration is not salvation in itself. Regeneration is unto salvation. Folks, salvation is being saved from your sins, which, thanks be to the grace of God, was accomplished by Jesus Christ at the cross. And of course, in living a perfectly righteous life. And was evidenced by his resurrection from the dead. Also take note of the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Folks, only those who have been born again will believe. Now again, how am I going to reconcile all this? Well, I'm going to simply use the Holy Scriptures to prove my position, because these scriptures I'm going to be quoting to you are gospel truth. Gospel truth. The new birth, being born again, and the life of God come from God Himself in the person of the Spirit of Christ. I hope you heard that. The new birth and the life of God come from God Himself in the person of the Spirit of Christ. And I say in the person of the Spirit of Christ. Well, aren't you talking about two people? No. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of God the Father and the Holy Spirit of God the Son. I cannot explain this to you, but I'm telling you this is the way it works. The scriptural evidence is overwhelming as to the new birth and the life of God coming from God in the person of the Spirit of Christ. Now, number one, reading the verse again, having willed it, God gave us birth, spiritual birth, by a word of truth. Let's identify. Now, I know your King James has the word of truth. The word "the" is not in the text. It's a word of truth. And what is that word we're talking about? Let's identify a word which can produce a new birth, which is the life of God. The life of God in us spiritually. What word can produce that? There's only one. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Him was life. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1, verses 1, 4, and 14. That's none other than Jesus Christ. Christ said this of Himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. John 14, 6. Remember now from earlier, we saw that the new birth is a spiritual resurrection from spiritual death to life together with Christ. You know, Christ also said in John's gospel, I am the resurrection and the life. Christ clearly demonstrated His life-giving word when He raised Lazarus from the dead. He spoke, and there was life. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, contains three infallible words concerning all true Christians. Christ, our life. Christ, our life. And friends, that life began when we were born again. The new birth is not temporary life, as is our physical life. Being born again endows us with eternal life. John chapter 17. Please listen closely. John chapter 17, first three verses. Jesus, in praying to God His Father, spoke these words, lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son also may glorify You. As You have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give, that He, Christ, should give eternal life to as many as You have given Him. Of course, speaking of God's elect here. And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God. Now listen to this last portion of this verse. And Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. Folks, Galatians says, you know, Christ, in fact, came into the world. He was sent into the world. But remember, we're speaking of the Spirit of Christ here. And God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Please see that in this verse as well. That's overwhelmingly important. It's a twofold thing. He not only came into the world, but God sent Him in the Spirit of Christ into our hearts, giving us life. When God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, folks, we were born again. Now, getting back to the statement that the new birth and the life of God come from God Himself in the person of the Spirit of Christ, we have spoken very clearly here of Christ being life. Now let's look at the Holy Spirit. Remember, we're speaking of the Spirit of Christ. Let's look at the Spirit of God. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. Romans 8:10. The Spirit is life. Folks, we've got Christ as life. We've got the Spirit as life. We see Christ saying of God the Father has life in himself. Folks, they're one. They're all life. I, again, don't understand that, but I know this. God the Father, who is life, sent the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit and Christ, who are life, into your hearts, birthing you again. In addition, there's another thing here that's true. Remember, Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of Truth. Look in the Gospel of John, around chapter 16, 14, 15, 16. Repeatedly, the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of Truth. And then in John's first letter, John, 1 John 5:6, there is a little short statement. The Spirit is the truth. Now, I don't believe your King James versions have put the definite article, but the definite article is absolutely in the original text. The Spirit is the truth. Christ said, I am the truth. Folks, they're one. And it's the Spirit of Christ sent into our hearts by God the Father, birthing us again from above. Now, having seen all of this scriptural truth concerning Christ and the Holy Spirit, Galatians, and I'm going to repeat it again, Galatians 4:6 rings clear. God the Father, has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That is God making us alive together with Christ. God birthing us again into His family. Children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Made alive together with Christ. Born again into the family of God. Having willed it, God gave us birth by a word of truth. I pray that I have proven beyond any doubt that word of truth is the Spirit of Christ. That word of truth in that text is the Spirit of Christ. Now listen as I close. If you truly will to be born again, if you truly desire to be born again, if you truly want to be born again, then you have already been born again. God has made you willing in the day of His power because He willed to give you birth by a word of truth, the Spirit of His Son. Thanks be to God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved his elect. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. Amen.